Welcome to a special edition of Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. 2,218 people have tested positive for COVID-19, the coronavirus, in Pennsylvania. Just 3 weeks ago today, the number was two. 22 people have died. Throughout the pandemic, Pennsylvania Secretary of Health Dr. Rachel Levine has kept everyone advised and informed on the latest COVID-19 news. Dr. Rachel Levine, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So this is nowhere near over. In fact, it may be a long time before we get back to some form of normalcy. But how do you view what's transpired here in Pennsylvania and across the country over the last 3 weeks?
Well, as you've been describing, COVID-19 is a global pandemic and poses a significant public health threat to the world, to the United States, and to Pennsylvania. We have been seeing a steady increase in the numbers of new patients, which has been going up in an exponential way, doubling approximately every 2 to 3 days. And so we have been seeing a surge of patients, specifically in certain areas in the southeast, Philadelphia or in the collar counties, in Allegheny County, but new counties all the time. So we are working, as you said, tirelessly under the governor's leadership to prepare for the further increase in new patients and then strains upon our healthcare system.
What has been the biggest challenge so far?
Well, the biggest challenge is that exponential rise of new cases, again, doubling every 2 to 3 days. We are certainly seeing what is called community spread of cases in Pennsylvania. At the beginning of COVID-19 in Pennsylvania, the cases could be traced to specific vulnerabilities where they were exposed. We could trace it to travel or to someone else that we knew was positive. But now, really, most people are getting it in the community. We're actually probably underestimating the number of cases because very, very mild cases don't come to light.
Dr. Levine, testing is more widespread today than just a few weeks ago. But are there enough tests in Pennsylvania?
So we have enough tests to do the case-based testing that we're doing now. So it's only a number of weeks ago that we were able to do any tests in Pennsylvania at our state laboratory. But now our state laboratory is prioritizing testing of healthcare personnel, vulnerable populations such as hospitalized patients and seniors in long-term care living facilities. But in addition to that, most hospitals and health systems now have testing capability, either doing the laboratory testing at their facility or sending it out to commercial laboratories such as Quest and LabCorp. In addition, there are two mass testing sites that have been set up for symptomatic individuals, one in Philadelphia and one in Montgomery, which they have been doing hundreds of tests. So there has been challenges getting the reagents or the chemicals in order to do the testing, but we have been able to work with the federal government to supply reagents for all testing in Pennsylvania.
How long does it take to get those test results back? Because we've heard complaints over the last few weeks that sometimes it's taking 4 or 5 days. Typically, what does it take now?
Mm-hmm. It depends on where the test is obtained and what laboratory is actually doing the analysis. So if the test is obtained and then sent to our laboratory, we'll have results within 24 hours. Some hospitals, if they're doing the laboratory testing themselves in-house, it has the results within 24 hours. But if it is going to the commercial laboratories, then it is taking a number of days. We have been in contact with them to try to work to get down the wait time. But of course, you know, they're testing and doing tests from throughout the country, and they have a backlog. Those are the commercial national laboratories.
Dr. Levine, New York is the epicenter of the COVID-19 outbreak right now and is or will be experiencing a shortage of ICU beds and other equipment like ventilators. We are getting some conflicting reports here in Pennsylvania. We've heard from some quarters that there are enough beds, but then we hear others saying that there aren't. Do we have enough hospital beds to handle more seriously ill patients?
So we certainly have enough hospital beds to deal with more patients. And we do not have that many hospitalized patients now. Actually, it's 241 patients have been hospitalized. That's approximately 11% of those that are positive. 76 patients have required intensive care. That's 3.4%. And 44 patients have required a ventilator or breathing machine, and that's 2%. However, what we have to be prepared for is a potential surge of patients over the next month. And so that highlights really the basis behind the administration's efforts under the governor's leadership. The first is mitigation, is prevention. We need to mitigate or prevent the spread of COVID-19 so that we can bend the curve in terms of those numbers of new patients. If it keeps going up in that exponential rise, doubling every 2 to 3 days, you can see in 2 or 3 weeks we will have thousands and thousands and thousands of patients, and the health system could be overwhelmed. So the goal is to cut the top off that surge and make a potential tidal wave into a smaller wave that our health systems can deal with it. The second pillar of the response is the testing that we've been discussing. And the third is to prepare the health system in Pennsylvania for any potential surge that we might see. And so we are working on space considerations, numbers of beds across the whole continuum of care, such as ICU beds, traditional medical surgical beds, and then subacute beds for patients as they convalesce. We're looking to repurpose, for instance, ambulatory surgical facilities to take care of patients. In addition, we have to have adequate staffing of healthcare personnel, physicians, but also, of course, nurses, nurse practitioners and physician's assistants, respiratory therapists, many different healthcare personnel. We have to have enough supplies, such as the N95 masks and other personal protective equipment. We have to have enough ventilators. And then we have what are called crisis or emergency standards of care to be able to take care of people. So putting all of that together is what the Department of Health and PEMA, the Pennsylvania Emergency Management Association, all under the administration's leadership are working on now.
So basically what you're saying is much will depend on how quickly the COVID-19 spreads. But are you confident that Pennsylvania is prepared for this exponential number of cases that we will be experiencing?
Well, so we're going to work to be prepared, but we're going to increase our efforts to try to mitigate and prevent the spread and to prevent the largest surge that could overwhelm any health system.
What about ventilators? In New York, Governor Cuomo has asked for 30,000 ventilators. I haven't heard a lot of numbers being tossed around here in Pennsylvania, but do you have an actual figure that you've looked at and said, this is how many ventilators we think we're going to need?
Well, so first, we know exactly how many ventilators we have in the health system, and also we have stores of ventilators through the Pennsylvania Department of Health and PEMA. In addition, however, we are purchasing ventilators right now. The governor's office has scoured the state as well as the country to find ventilators, and so we have purchased ventilators that will be being shipped here over the next number of weeks. In addition, we are looking for that personal protective equipment, the N95 masks and others. So hospitals and health systems have had their stores. The Department of Health has stores. We have gotten resupplied by the national stockpile, but we have also actually gone out and purchased N95 masks from other retailers. And actually, the governor's office is trying to work with industry to see if they can make N95 masks right here in Pennsylvania, just to make sure that our very courageous healthcare workers right on the front line are supplied with the resources that they need. So we feel we're prepared in terms of ventilators, but the key, as I said, is the prevention and mitigation efforts to prevent the highest peak. That would be very challenging.
I understand, Dr. Levine, that the Department of Health is preparing a guide for doctors who may have to decide which critically ill patients will have access to life-saving technology like ventilators and which will not. Now, this is part of a triage procedure. Now, some have put it bluntly and simply and said that doctors may have to decide who has the best chance to live and who may die. Is it that simple?
No. I think that that's an oversimplification. I know that those type of draconian decisions had to be made in Italy, but I think that that's a mischaracterization of our standards of care. Really, the standards of triage is something that physicians do every day. When someone walks into the emergency room, triage means that we assess how ill a patient is, and then we determine what level of care they need. So if someone comes into the emergency department who is desperately ill with shortness of breath and very labored breathing and low oxygenation, whether it's from COVID-19 or something or asthma, they would be assessed and triaged by the emergency room staff, and then assigned to the right level of care, whatever that person needs. So that word triage, I think, has been used more incorrectly. And the standards of care are to be able to assign patients to the correct standard of care to provide the care that they need. We're going to do everything we possibly can to avoid those type of heart-wrenching ethical decisions that would have to be made by our healthcare personnel. We realize that they did in Italy, and we'll do everything we can to provide whatever care people need in Pennsylvania.
What criteria goes into that, whether it is a normal visit to the emergency room or a situation that we may be facing in the near future of emergency rooms and hospitals that will have multiple patients?
Mm-hmm. So, of course, you know, patients get sick with other things besides COVID-19. So people still have heart disease and heart attacks and things like that. So we have to be able to take care of those patients. In addition, though, we have to be able to assess and triage a patient with COVID-19 to the correct level of care. So again, a patient who is in acute respiratory distress, labored breathing, low oxygen levels that might need oxygen or even a ventilator will be assigned to the intensive care unit. A patient who is ill, dehydrated, might need oxygen but not a ventilator might have a lower need for care. A patient who is dehydrated and febrile and needs a day or two of fluids and supportive care will have a different level of care. And then, to be honest with you, a patient who is not that ill might have a low-grade fever and breathing comfortably might be sent home. So that's the basis of triage and the assignment of the standards of care.
And I just want to follow up on that because you were talking about those that may not be in much distress. It goes back to the very beginning of advice or information that you were providing to Pennsylvanians, and that is who should be tested and who shouldn't be tested.
Sure. So patients who have symptoms, if they're ill, should be tested. A patient who has no symptoms, an individual who has no symptoms, does not need to be tested. A negative test in a patient who has no symptoms doesn't really mean very much. They could be, if they haven't been exposed, they could be exposed the next day. And if they have been exposed, but they might be in that incubation period, and they might test negative. So a negative test in a patient with no symptoms is not useful to us. But for patients with symptoms, we have said that if an adult has very mild symptoms, a very low-grade fever, and a mild cough, that it's fine to stay home. You could assume that you might have COVID-19, and there is no treatment and no vaccine for COVID-19, so stay home. However, we need to be careful that people then don't stay home when they need care. If someone's developing a worse cough, shortness of breath, chest pain, then they need to call their healthcare provider. So it is a balance. We don't want to overwhelm the healthcare system with only mildly ill patients, but we don't want patients to stay at home if they're getting sicker. So there is that balance. If there's any question, a patient should call their healthcare provider and discuss the case with him or her to decide what should be done.
Dr. Levine, President Trump has said he would like to see the country up and running or working again by Easter. That's a little over 2 weeks from now. There's also the possibility of opening up some parts of the country while keeping limits in place in others. Is that timeline achievable in Pennsylvania?
Well, you know, Dr. Fauci from the NIH has said that in some ways the virus determines the timetable, not us, meaning we will need to be able to respond to the situation as we're seeing it in Pennsylvania. Right now, we are continuing to see that exponential rise of cases. But we have done modeling. There has been actually modeling done by the University of Pittsburgh School of Public Health. We also have seen modeling done by Penn, and there's actually some modeling done out of Washington State. They're all done a little differently. But we have some models about how things might look, depending upon how much mitigation we're able to implement. But really, what will determine what happens is the situation on the ground, you know, what we're seeing in our hospitals, the amount of positive patients, the amount of very ill patients that are hospitalized, the amount of patients in the ICU, et cetera. And those trends will determine how we're going to respond. It is dangerous to try to open up and stop mitigation and prevention efforts too early, but we also want and we understand the strain on the economy. So, we talked with the governor several times every day, updating him on all of these different issues, and we will work to get this exactly right. We don't want to do more than is necessary in terms of closing down schools and businesses, which is challenging, and asking people to stay at home. But we don't want to jump back too early, or we'll just see another rise of cases.
Dr. Levine, I'm sure you've been asked to speculate when this will be over and life can return to normal. And I'm not going to ask you to do that. But based on those models and rate of infection that we're seeing so far, do you have any idea when the number of COVID cases will peak in Pennsylvania?
So, again, as Dr. Fauci said, the virus determines the timetable, not us. So we have modeled this. We understand what the variables are that might determine when things might have peaked. Now, it's not at the peak that you want to stop the mitigation efforts, and it's not the next day. We want to see a continuous, steady trend with a decrease in the numbers of new cases, the percentage of new cases over a period of time. And then, just like the governor has taken a very measured approach and a stepwise approach in terms of implementing the prevention methods, he will take a very measured, stepwise approach in terms of relaxing those, constantly monitoring whether we're seeing a new resurgence of the virus. I cannot give you an exact time for that.
Final question. What is your biggest concern? Is there anything that keeps you awake at night?
Well, I had said actually a long time ago when I became Secretary of Health is that the public health issue that would keep me awake at night and I'd wake up at 3 a.m. to think about is the risk of a global pandemic. So unfortunately, that has proven to be true. So this pandemic itself wakes me up at night. The exponential rise of cases, the human cost in terms of the ill patients, the challenges to families and communities, the deaths, all of those weigh very heavily. But what keeps us all going is hope for the future, that working together and in Pennsylvania under the governor's leadership, we're going to get through this.
Dr. Rachel Levine, Pennsylvania Secretary of Health, thank you very much for being on Smart Talk today.